For our scripture this morning, Steve has selected two passages in Matthew. The first is a couple of parables from Matthew 13. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds can come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. And from Matthew 5:13-16, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Blessings, Steve. As we hear about the kingdom of God has come near.
Well, we're getting set. I hope you noticed both of those scriptures had to do with something small growing into something grand. That'll be a theme throughout the message. The time has come, Jesus said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. We want to focus on that one verse, that one comment from the book of Mark. And just so it's clear to us, we internalize it. I'd like to ask you to say it with me. I'm going to do it in the four parts. And I'll say it if you could repeat it back to me. The time has come.
The time has come.
The kingdom of God has come near.
The kingdom of God has come near.
Repent.
Repent.
And believe the good news. This is Jesus' introductory invitation, at least in the book of Mark, as he began his ministry. And really, it was an invitation, it was a statement in which the rest of the gospel is then just a fulfilling of that statement, leading up to his death and resurrection, and then even leading up to his return again. So kind of says it all, but it needs to still be filled out when Jesus says this. One person in thinking of the gospel of Jesus said, it's a royal proclamation that Jesus Christ has conquered sin and death and the powers of darkness. He's been enthroned as Lord of all, and he has inaugurated God's kingdom. Just this grand picture, but also knowing that the kingdom of God might start very small and move towards that glory. So I want to ponder that this morning and to consider how that reality, how that statement relates to baptism. You know, in baptism, we're giving a response to that invitation. There's this decisive moment that Donovan and Joanna have been awakened to that reality of Jesus. I don't think it's a new discovery, but something that's been growing within them. But now they want to this decisive moment to act on that good news. The kingdom of God has come near. So they, in this moment of baptism, have decided to unite with Jesus in this eternal reign. God's already starting to rule with his love, with his peace, with his righteousness in their lives. They're joining in that grander picture of the kingdom. There's repentance, there's a turning towards God and choosing to be on that way and renouncing all other ways. And then believing the good news, not just believing, but believing so much that they would entrust their lives into the hands of Jesus. So I want to just think about, again, those four statements again, how it relates to all of us as we relive our baptism or ponder following Jesus and what it means for Donovan and Joanna. Again, the time has come, this decisive moment. Thinking about Donovan playing chess, I imagine that in a chess match, there might often be a decisive move. Like because that move was made, the rest of the match has been determined. You know, it still needs to be played out, but it's all but over because of that. Joanna with her dance, with her playing the viola, I would imagine maybe there was a time as she was beginning to do that where she said, yes, this is for me. You know, I want to dance. I want to play the viola. I want to commit a significant part of my time, my life, my investment into this pursuit, these decisive moments. In Galatians, Paul says that when the fullness of time had come, when just the right time had come, God sent his son. Yeah. We could ponder why that was the decisive moment in the history of God's redeeming love. But there was this decisive moment when Jesus came. And for all of us, there's that moment. And maybe it's a whole period of time, but there's the decisive time when we say yes. You know, and there's all kinds of biblical imagery we could get. There's that moment when we stand up from the tax collector's booth and leave. There's that moment when we set our nets aside and follow Jesus. There's that moment when we realize we've been freed from spiritual oppression and we follow Jesus. There's that moment when the eyes of our hearts are enlightened to truth and we follow Jesus. There's those moments when the love of Jesus just floods into our hearts and we follow Jesus. Whatever it might look like, however we would describe our story. And often it's the end result of a number of experiences and relationships, heartbreaks, revelations along the way that lead us to that point. And I think we'll hear from Donovan and Joanna about that for their lives. So the decisive moment, the time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Just this announcement Jesus is making that God's reign is breaking into this world. John describes it as the Word became flesh and made his took up his residence among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, full of grace and truth. You know, Jesus broke into this world. And then the scriptures we heard had all kinds of metaphors of something being introduced, salt, light, yeast, the Word, a seed. And so there's this introduction, but then somehow it takes on life and it grows and it reaches more and more fullness. There's a word, a Greek word in Scripture, kerygma, that gets translated proclamation. A proclamation went out. But it's also associated with the word kernel. And we think of that kernel as being just the basics of the good news. Not a whole book of theology, but just a more simple understanding, the condensed version of what this good news is all about. One author said, you know, if you had to name this good news in one word kernel, it'd be Jesus. Three words, Jesus is Lord. And then he has a 30 word description. But lots of scriptures do this as well. Just kind of gets the essence of the good news. John says, this is love. Not that we love God, but God loved us. Sent his son to be an atoning sacrifice for us. Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And this life that I live now, I don't live for myself. I live it for the one who loves me and who gave his life for me. Paul tells the Corinthians, in Jesus Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. And he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. You know, all these, just in those simple or not too many sentences, we really get the kernel of what the gospel is all about. However we do it, it should be this understanding that we're taking hold of, that Jesus came to identify with us. Jesus was crucified. He bore our sins upon himself in a self-sacrificing way. Jesus was raised again, the firstborn of all who will have eternal life, true life, true living, conquering sin and death, and that Jesus now reigns. His kingdom has been established, this kingdom of peace and love and righteousness, all an outworking of God's redeeming love. So, you know, that's what we take hold of in our lives, and that's what baptism represents, that we understand that reality and we're stepping into that reality. And so our response is to repent and believe the good news. So often, like I said, the way's already been prepared, and probably everybody in here can say they had some kind of a role in Donovan, Joanna's decision today, some kind of influence. But just like a field is plowed, ready for that seed to be planted, the Spirit of God's been at work preparing their hearts as well. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single seed. But if it dies, it then grows and produces much fruit. So with this decision that they're making, there is a putting to death, or there is a renunciation of things so that the fullness of Christ can grow. And it's not just a decision today. Like with baptism, I'm repenting, but they've chosen to step into a life of everyday surrendering. Every day saying, may your will be done, Jesus, not mine. May you become greater, may I become less. It's a constant work for all of us day by day. And then believing the good news. Not just believing like that, that's a good idea, that makes sense. I like that good news, that story of Jesus. But translating it into life. You know, I'm so convinced of that I'm going to live it. I'm going to entrust my life to the way of Jesus. Like yeast or like a sapling, this good news, this gospel is going to grow within Donovan and Joanna and all of us. Our impact in the world is going to continually grow like yeast spreading throughout that dough. And even as that gospel's growing and taking root within us. And Donovan and Joanna, I just encourage you to keep opening your heart to that, the work of the Spirit in you, and be salt, be flavorful for the world. You know, whether it's on Linda Avenue, is that correct, Linda Avenue? Lancaster Mennonite, Lehigh University, the dance group, the string section, Whitmer Heights, the Bear family, the Stoltzfus family, wherever you are, let that, the seasoning of Jesus, that flavor come through to you, from you. And just this one final thought. I have a secondary job as a home physical therapist, and just in recent weeks, I was working with a patient to climb steps. She hadn't climbed steps since a bad accident late last year. And we got halfway and I was thinking, you know, we're at a point of no return. You know, we have to make it to the top now. And just sensing that there was increasing strength or confidence step by step. And when we reached the top, that was just amazing, you know, to make it up there to the summit. And so again, Donovan and Joanna, as you say, I've decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. Don't think of that in a negative way, like, what have I got myself into? But there's going to be trials, going to be ups and downs here, but I'm trusting that the Lord's grace and strength are going to be sufficient till we get to the top, till we get home at the end of the journey. So may God bless you in that.